It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. It's Wednesday, the 9th of August. May God bless you today. May He bless you with a very productive day. The Bible says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice in it." Psalm 118:24. And I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Psalm 122, verse 1. It's time for our opening prayer. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for waking us up this morning. We just ask for the blessing of God on our lives. We thank you so much for what you've done for us. We ask for your mercies to be with us at all times. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, our God, merciful God, is good to us, is he not? It's time now for our opening song, and that is It's About Time.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about time. It's about
topic today is the ratification of the old covenant. The old covenant ratified. We are going to have prayer as we begin. Dear Father, the precious Bible is about to be opened, and therefore we need the Holy Spirit. For the Bible tells us in John 16:13 that the Spirit guides us into all truth. So we ask for you to bless us now. Give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. My brothers and sisters, there's many themes in what we're reading. I just had to pick one, and so I picked the ratification of the Old Testament. We're actually reading from, we read Exodus 23 yesterday, but I want to go into a little bit more detail on the last couple of verses. God is telling them that they're going to be in the land of the Philistines and others, but notice what it says in verse 32, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. And then it goes on to say, they shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. I want some of the counsels that were given to the Jewish people have been greatly misunderstood, and that's why the Jewish nation was not ready to represent Christ, to introduce Christ. They thought that scriptures like this made them better than others. They thought the scriptures like this would make them not reach out, do any outreach to anybody, but just keep all their resources and all their money and everything in their own communion, so to speak. Unfortunately, a lot of people in Christianity have the same mindset. We're going to dispel that mindset. You need to look at the operative words covenant. It didn't mean you can't witness to them, you can't help them. It doesn't mean that you can't be a good example to them. But a covenant was a binding agreement, okay, that bound you together for some purpose. And God was saying for those who violate God's law, for those who do not serve me, you weren't supposed to do that, okay? They shall not dwell in thy land. God does want us to be careful who we associate with, because we should be associating with those who want to follow God all the way. And a lot of times it's our association with those who aren't willing to follow God all the way that puts pressure on us not to follow God all the way. And so I want to bring that out. Now, it's brought out in different ways. For example, in 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, be ye not unequally yoked together. The operative word is yoked. It didn't say don't help people. It didn't say don't reach out to people. It didn't say you were better than other people. It's saying that if you have accepted Christ as your Savior and you have chosen to allow him to live in you and walk in his law, you can't be yoked with unbelievers. So yoked, a yoke was an instrument that held two different beasts of burden around their neck. And where one went, the other went. You're locked in. So if you have a business partner and you want to keep the Sabbath and have your business reflect God's principles, and your business partner wants to open up the business on Sabbath, that's a problem. That is a yoking. If you want to marry somebody and that person does not believe in Christ, or if they say they believe in Christ, they are not a commandment keeper. That is yoking. That doesn't mean you can't help somebody, minister somebody, teach somebody, be friends in the sense of, you know, we have friends from the past. And so a lot of times we take these scriptures and we misinterpret them, okay? Now, a lot of us misinterpret them and we get yoked. And a lot of people misinterpret them and they think that these scriptures make us better than anybody else or look down on people. No, 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 no. We are to witness to people. People need the Lord. And Jesus is coming for a people that keep his commandments.
The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right unto the tree of life. And that's why the Bible tells us to come out of Babylon. Read it for your own self. Don't take my word for it. It's in Revelation 18, the first three verses. It says, come out from among them and be ye separate. That means we should not continue in general just fellowship. That could be church fellowship. That could be, oh, I'm part of this club or this sorority or this fraternity. If they're not following God, my friends, you need to get out of that. And I can tell you fraternities and sororities don't follow God. They're kind of secret societies, and that's not of God, but that's another subject. But the point being made, brothers and sisters, is there's a lot of good people out there, and you can witness to them, and you can share with them, and you can be a kind helper to them, but you're not supposed to be yoked with them. So you can't have, in other words, we can't have a member that is in violation of God's law. We can't have a, why? Because, well, what's going to happen is we and others will see that person's life. Let's say if it was me and you just brought me in and were yoked with me, whether that be a business, your business partner, or even church membership is a yoking. See, a yoking is some kind of committed group together where we commit ourselves together for a purpose. I want you to understand what a yoke is, okay? Anybody can come to church, okay? Anybody can come to church. We want people to come to church. Anybody can come to our ministry. We want you to come to our ministry. We're here. We're called to help people. We're called to love, brothers and sisters. So let's not get this mixed up. At the same time, what if somebody wanted to join the ministry? Okay, well, if you join the ministry, then we teach that we should eat a certain way. So if you eat a different way, then people will say, oh, that's what that ministry teaches because that person is part of that ministry and they eat that way, you see? So then, oh, they claim that that's God's way? They're going to either say we're not following God's way, or they will think God's way includes eating all the wrong foods. You follow what I'm saying? And so while a person can come to the ministry, they can't join the ministry because that's a yoking. I hope you're following me. Now, friends, this isn't anything exclusive. All we have to do is do what God said. And there's no restrictions of any. If there are people that might not want to be around me, but that's their problem, okay? I'm striving to walk with the Lord, my brothers and sisters, and as we all strive to walk with the Lord, it's truth that unites us. Guess what? It's not even color that unites us. It's truth. Some people like to stay in certain circumstances because they're more comfortable in the culture, whether you're white, whether you're black, whatever. Friends, we need to get over that kind of stuff. It's the truth that unites us, not anything else. And so I just want you all to understand that the statements in the Bible that speak about not being unequally yoked, not having a covenant with the world, the Bible tells us come out of Babylon. That's because when you're in membership, that's yoking. So that means everything that those other members do, you're responsible for, okay? That's why the Bible says, come out of her, my people, be not partakers of their sin. And receive their plagues. You see, God, those who eventually choose not to follow the Lord all the way will not receive the seal of God. They will have the mark of the beast, and the plagues of God, the seven last plagues, will fall upon them. God does not want that. So he tells everybody. Truth is available to everybody. God doesn't say, oh, your name is Sheldon Plumage. You're the only one that gets truth. No. He gives his truth to all men. The Bible tells us in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God, you heard of grace, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Amen. Praise God. So I just wanted to clear that up. God wants us to love everybody and reach out to everybody. But you can't be yoked with everybody. You can't have a committed marriage or business partnership or even church membership. Why? Because it will bring down the church, or it will give a wrong example. So a person who joins the church, what if you have a church? I don't care if it's a Baptist church, Methodist church, Presbyterian church. and somebody joins the church and they're into witchcraft, okay? Well, guess what? They're going to bring witchcraft into the church, right? So can a witch come to church? Absolutely. I've had witches come to my ministry. Absolutely. Yes, I have. Guess what? They need Jesus too. I'm not afraid of their witchcraft because, remember, they're not trying to curse me. They had diabetes anyhow. They were trying to get some help. Their witchcraft couldn't cure their diabetes. I've had several people in spiritualism here. And guess what? I've had to only stop one of them that was trying to do some of his enchantments on to help people. And I had to stop him. The bottom line, brothers and sisters, is that he died because he wouldn't give up his witchcraft. And the reality is that if his witchcraft was so much healing, had healing power, why couldn't it heal him? You see? So the point being made is that we can sometimes fall into a mindset reading these scriptures that we exclude people, and we are to save souls, not exclude souls. At the same time, when you have a yoking type relationship, okay? So a friend from high school, not a yoke, not a yoke. A person who comes to church, that's not a yoke. A person who wants to hear the truth, even on this broadcast, that's not a yoke. You are welcomed here, my brothers and sisters. But when it comes to marriage, business partner, now, some people don't understand what that means. So can I buy something? Let's say I sell cars. Can I buy my wholesale cars from GM or Ford or auction? Absolutely. I'm not yoked with them. They are selling a product. They might be Satanists. They're selling a product. I'm buying the product. I can ask God to bless the product. Once I get it, I am not yoked with them. Do you see the difference, brothers and sisters? Yoking is a partnership. Think of marriage. Yoking is a partnership. Now, a lot of times, you know, she has pretty teeth. You know, he has a nice smile, and so we get yoked with people that are unbelievers. And it is very dangerous to get emotionally tied up with a person and then tell them that they need to be a member of your church or you can't marry them. Why? Because they may become a member for the wrong reason, brothers and sisters. They may become a member just to get you. And then as soon as they've got you, then their heart's not in this thing. They just did it because they wanted you. And so you are the one that put them in that position of temptation. So you need to be careful. They should be don't show up. Don't, if you like them, tell God about it. Don't tell them about it. And if you want to pass them a track, get them connected with a brother or sister that they can have some Bible studies with, so on and so forth. It's probably not best for you to have the Bible studies with them. If God moves on their heart and they give their heart to Christ, then, you know, at some later time, God might bring you together. But there's so much that we sometimes do because we don't follow God's principles. All right, we're in 24 now, chapter 24. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu. Now, I'm emphasizing Nadab and Abihu because they later rebelled. But I want you all to understand, and we might say, well, why did God just, you know, burn them up or you know, do what he did? You have to understand, to whom much is given, much is required. They had seen God in the mount, as in a visible light. They had been up there and were all exalted to be one of the few that would go up with Moses, not all the way up to the higher precincts, but to a certain level away from the people. They were honored as priests with that, brothers and sisters. And so it was not a light thing for them to go in rebellion against the leadership that it was clear God had chosen. But we're not in that story yet, but I just want to emphasize them because some people think God is harsh when they were destroyed. No. They had high calling. They had high evidence. They just chose to be rebellious. Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. Now, brothers and sisters, that's a beautiful thing to say. Whatever God says, I want to do. But if you think that you can do it in your own strength, you can't. The problem with what most people teach today is they teach that we don't have to keep God's commandments, brothers and sisters. That is a lie. We must be commandment keepers. It's just that the method of keeping God's commandments cannot be your own strength. You have to depend on God. Christ in you is the hope of glory. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, God changes us, and he takes the old away from us, and he replaces it with the good and the new. That's what the Christian walk is, my brothers and sisters. And so a person who's a thief doesn't have to always be a thief. A person who's an adulterer and fornicator, homosexual, doesn't have to be an adulterer, fornicator, homosexual, okay, or homosexual. I want you all to understand God changes people. That's what this is all about. That's what the gospel is all about. That's why the early part of our message applies. If you don't reach them, touch them, teach them, live for them, help them, heal them, nobody else, who else is going to reach them, touch them, teach them, heal them? So God wasn't trying to create a wall where we have no contact with people. He was trying to help us understand in that contact with people, don't get involved in a binding relationship. That's a good phrase, a binding relationship where you're bound. You see, when we're members of the same church, we're bound. I am bound to help you and do certain things with you as a member. And I am bound to the relationship, introducing you as my brother and sister in the faith. So when I'm bound to do that and I'm bound to help you even more than we help others, the Bible says we should do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. And so we are bound to do that, brothers and sisters. And so you don't want a binding contract. Marriage is a binding contract. I am bound to Maria. That I have to forsake all others and until death do us part, the Bible says. And it's a pleasure to do so. My point being made, brothers and sisters, is that binding relationships is what God was against. Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar unto the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes and sent young men and the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. So they were saying, we will do it. And that because in their they were planning to do it in their own strength. But because they made a agreement with God to do that, that was a covenant. And so look at what happened. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant. So the old covenant was ratified back in the time of Moses. The new covenant, which actually came before the old covenant, it is the everlasting covenant. It couldn't be ratified until Jesus would come hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years after that point. So that's why the old covenant is called old, because it was ratified first. It wasn't the first covenant. God gave the same covenant with the Israel as he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You can read in Exodus chapter 3. It says, I remember the covenant I had with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that's why he was given that covenant to his people, the promise of salvation, which includes righteousness by faith. That means obedience by faith. God gives us the power to obey, my friend. And so I hope this helps you understand the old covenant and the new, because I will tell you 99% of Christians do not. They think the old covenant was the Old Testament, and that it ended with Malachi. We don't have to keep God's law in any way, shape, or form anymore, and that now we're saved by grace, but they weren't saved by grace. Brothers and sisters, my Bible tells me Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. You see, they've got it all wrong. They weren't saved a different way back then. There's only one way, the Bible says, we can be saved, and that's Jesus Christ. He just hadn't come yet. So they had certain things that were added to their spiritual walk that they did as reminders that a Savior was going to come. So they kept Passover Sabbaths and Pentecost Sabbath and Day of Atonement Sabbath and other annual Sabbaths that were done away with once Christ came. Okay, the weekly Sabbath had nothing to do with pointing forward for Christ to come. It was commemorative. It pointed backward to the creation. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. So the Sabbath is still binding, and 99% of Christians are breaking God's law, my friends. And God never wanted us to worship on Sunday. That is the day that the pagans worshiped. I'm telling you the truth. And the Roman Catholic Church brought it in. Speaking of which, I saw a video, brothers and sisters, and I was really surprised that it was on YouTube. But you should go and watch it. Let me see if I can't. I'm going to try to find it because I've always known this, but I was just, again, surprised that they put it on YouTube. But the name of the video is, let me see here. The Vatican and the Third Reich. Now, Reich is spelled R-E-I-C-H. It's right on YouTube. The Vatican and the Third Reich. It's going to show you that the Roman Catholic Church was behind Adolf Hitler in trying to overcome the world and freedom and democracy, okay? It's going to prove it without a shadow of a doubt. There used to be a video out there called The Rat Line. You might be able to find it, but they bring it out in the video, but The Rat Line focuses on it. They channeled the war criminals of the Nazis through the Vatican into Argentina. That is a fact. And the Roman Catholic Church will deny that fact, brothers and sisters. Don't think for 1 minute the Roman Catholic Church doesn't know what's going on in the Vatican, okay? It knows everything that goes on in the Vatican. You are not going to channel thousands of German war criminals through the Vatican. They had to go through the Vatican and then were transported to Argentina. And they found them. They found war criminals over there in Argentina. There's a large German population. They came from Nazi Germany. And what they did, they had, it was a primarily, you know, Catholic country. And so they actually sealed the immigration records for years. They sealed them up. That was all part of the plan. They would seal the immigration records so nobody would be able to see. And now, many, many years later, those immigration records are open, and you see all this flood of Germans that came over as the war was ending. Friends, I'm here to tell you the Roman Catholic Church is heavily involved. That's why God wanted us to know who they were and what part they would play. Now, this does not refer to Roman Catholic people. It's talking about the system of Roman Catholicism, okay? And you know, this system is a system that is Satan's agent. Why did I bring that out? Because they brought in all these pagan practices into Christianity. Nobody worshiped on Sunday but the pagans. That's why it's called Sunday, okay? They brought it in. And so when we worship regularly on that day, we are giving honor to Satan, the sun god. He's not the sun god, but he's the, you know, the evil one, but they thought it was the sun god. That's what we're doing. And that's what Rome did. And Rome is very clear. Sunday is our mark of authority. The church is above the Bible. Transferring Sabbath to Sunday is proof of that fact. That's what they say. I didn't make that up, brothers and sisters. See, the thing about the truth that I love is the truth just stands on its own. It just stands on its own. I don't have to make up anything. I don't have to be sensational. I don't have to, I just tell you the truth. They clearly say we transfer the day, and they mock you Protestants that keep Sunday because they say you do something that's not even in the Bible that we made up, yet you won't follow our other traditions, you see. And so, my brothers and sisters, we have to be faithful to the Lord. Let's read on. Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and all the, and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also, they saw God and did eat and drink. Now, when it says they saw God, they basically saw his light, his glory, okay, not his face. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me in the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments, which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. Now, it's so interesting, brothers and sisters, just so you know, God's law was written with his own finger, okay? And if you want to read Deuteronomy 31:26, take this book of the law, that's what Moses wrote, and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness. But if you go to Deuteronomy 10:2, and I will write on the tables the words God is speaking, that were in the first tables which thou breakest, and thou shalt put them in the ark. They're two separate documents. One was the table of stones in the ark. One was the book of Moses in the side pocket of the ark, okay? So I just want to draw your attention that God wrote those Ten Commandments with his own finger. They are separate from what Moses wrote. But I'll go even further. Everything Moses wrote was nailed to the cross. Only the law of commandments contained in ordinances, friends. And as it relates to some of the rules and punishment, God has given secular government the authority to legislate on the last six commandments. So an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, you just can't knock somebody's eye out because they knocked your eye out. You got to call the police, okay? You just can't do it today. They could do it back then, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Maybe. I mean, maybe the judges allowed them to do it. But the point being made is that God allowed the law and order to be legislated and adjudicated by secular government, but not the first four, nor the gods. Don't bow down to idols. Don't take God's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath and all that that encompasses. That's why it will be wrong for the government to enact a national Sunday law, which is what Bible prophecy said they will do. The reason why we're encouraging you all, brothers and sisters, to follow God's way, because the Bible tells us, he that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least will be unjust also in much. We are coming to a time where we will not be openly able to say the things we're saying. We will not even be able to openly preach. That's why we do medical missionary work. So I'm here to tell you, to believe what I believe, you will be called a terrorist. You'll be called worse than a terrorist. That's where we're going. Think about it. You might say, oh, that's bad, whatever happened. Friends, you can't even say Adam and Steve is wrong without losing your job in some situations, without being sued in other situations. If you say Adam and Eve instead of Adam and Steve, they claim you're violating somebody's civil rights. That could end up being a crime. This is where this country is going. Now, you might say, oh, I'm just picking on the Democrats. No. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. The Republicans claim that they're standing behind the Constitution and that the insurrection was all right. Now, you tell me. That's why I'm not a Democrat, I'm not a Republican, and neither would Jesus be. I know people don't like me to say that, but I'm telling you the truth. Why? Because he doesn't love Democrats? Uh-uh. That's not why. That's because he doesn't love Republicans? That's not why. Because he loves all people. The Bible says, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. So the kingdom, the political party that I am a part of is not of this world. If it was of this world, then would my children fight? God wants us to be separate from all this political wrangling, you know, that's going on. Democrats fighting the Republicans. Republicans fighting the Democrats. Can't even tell the truth. Can't even do something simple and tell the truth. And, you know, you just see you're considered a good president, politician, whatever, just because you can win a lawsuit or win against a criminal proceeding or whatever. It's not about whether or not you did wrong or whether or not everybody can look at the word of God and say that homosexuality is wrong, but the whole Democratic Party is confused. Okay? And then, you know, everybody can look and see that it's wrong to overthrow the government like was attempted by the former president, whatever. Everybody can see that, but, you know, you can't tell a Republican that. You see? We better stand on truth or we're in trouble, brothers and sisters. We better stand on truth or we're in trouble because we get blinded by all this stuff. The Lord said unto Moses, come up to me in the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments, which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, And Moses went up into the mount of God, and he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you, and behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went in into the midst of the cloud and got him up in the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Brothers and sisters, Moses was in that mountain 40 days and 40 nights. He had no food, no water. That just shows that the presence of God is life-sustaining. And it's beautiful. We're going to close at this time. I hope you are continuing to grow, my brothers and sisters. We just tell the truth here. We don't have any political connections. We don't have anybody writing us a check to say these things. They're not popular things, but truth is not popular. The truth about health, which we'll learn in the second segment of our broadcast, neither the truth about the Bible. But guess what? It's still the truth. And the truth sets you free, my friends. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Bless us as we continue in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. We're going to hear from Sister Lenny, and she's going to be sharing with us a health message on the subject of cooking for someone with cancer. You don't want to miss it. Cooking for someone with cancer. Take about a little break, my friends. We'll be back after the intermission. The intermission song is the Torso Song. It is still time to sign up for the class. Go to our website, friends. Watch the video. That was the first lesson of the class. There is a wellness coach certification that we are offering. The textbook is approximately, we're making some finishing touches, 500 pages, but it's 500 pages of illustrations and flowcharts. You're going to learn in a fraction of the time for a fraction of the cost, my friends. Some of you all listening today are going to be taking that class, and so we welcome you. We thank God for you, but you can tell others. There's not a cap on it, and so tell others about it. All right, we're going to have that torso song, then we'll be back in a few minutes.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases, the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered, and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Delaney will bless us with a message, Cooking for People with Cancer.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. Cooking for someone with cancer. You don't need special cooking skills to cook for someone with cancer, whether that person is you or someone else. But you do need an open mind and a bit of patience. I'm going to be sharing with you 6 tips that can guide you in the kitchen as you cook for someone with cancer. Number 1, think small. Often people with cancer aren't able to eat large amounts at once. Try keeping portions small and consider more little snacks throughout the day. Serve meals on small plates. If you're making food to freeze, divide it into individual portions. Number 2, add meal appeal. Take time to arrange the food attractively. Serve or enjoy the meal in an uncluttered, serene spot, which might not be the dining room. Be creative. Consider colorful napkins and flowers for a special touch. Number 3, cook and serve in fresh air. If food smells are a turnoff, make sure to keep the kitchen well ventilated. Serve or eat the meal in a separate room, far from the kitchen area if possible. If needed, serve foods cold or at room temperature to avoid the aroma they emit from steaming. Number 4, be flexible. The very nature of cancer's effects on appetite means that you or the person you're cooking for might have sudden, unpredictable changes around eating. He or she might ask you to prepare something she's craving, and then by the time you've made it, it doesn't appeal to them anymore. Or a favorite food might suddenly be nauseating one day and then work wonderfully the next. The best thing for you to do is take a deep breath, accept it, and move on. Try something else. Don't hold things against that person. Because most of the time, that person is really not understanding or doing what you think they should do, but they're not trying to give you a hard time. That's just how they're feeling inside. Number 5, support gently. If it's not a good eating day, keep trying, but don't push. Focus instead on hydration, liquid foods that also provide nutrients and calories, such as broths and clear soups. Not push, but keep trying to encourage them to drink plenty of water. Number 6, be creative. Because cancer can cause changes in taste, consider this an opportunity to get out of a food rut and try something new. Add variety and flavor by trying new recipes or using a different sauce or season to shake up the mix. You will find plenty of inspiration if you would just treat people the way you would want to be treated. I got this article out of a book called Nourish on page 149. May you be a blessing to someone who has cancer and treat that person as you would want to be treated. Cook for them as you would want them to cook for you. Thank you so much, and may God bless you today.
Amen. Praise God. Are there any questions? Anyone have any questions or comments? We will take those. We'll start with roll call. We have Georgia on the line. We have the country of Greece. We have Virginia. We have the Netherlands. Over there, we have Virginia again. We have North Carolina. And on the call, we have, I'll start from the other direction, Georgia. We have Michigan. We have Ohio. We have Oklahoma. We have New Jersey. We have Delaware. We have Maryland. We have Pennsylvania. We have Alabama. We have Ohio and Ohio again. Okay? All right. On Facebook, we have a good morning from Sister Vicky, and the same from Brother Peyton, and that's that. So the only thing I want to say, that was a wonderful lesson, and it is some challenges working with people
Because, of course, that reading that Sister Lady gave, you know, they weren't really talking about juicing. So I just want to encourage that if a person is has cancer, continue juicing. And that really overemphasizes that point she made, that they'll have not even that much more room for a lot of food because they're juicing. And when it talks about the number of meals, probably no more than three would be fine. And so just want to mention those things as we add to what she said. And if you have any comments or questions, just press star six. Brothers and sisters, I just want to keep mentioning it until we just can't mention it anymore. Our next lesson is August the 27th, and it will go every Sunday thereafter from 10 to 12. We'll be in contact with a special Zoom link for registered students. But August 27th will be the date. The goal is that prior to August 27th, you'll have your textbook in hand. The textbook will be approximately 500 pages. It's a very much improved textbook from our original text, but it's easy. It's a flow chart system. So you will learn a lot and you'll gain a lot. Okay, we've got our mother in Israel on the line. We've got about 9 minutes to the top of the hour. So if there are others, please feel free to share. Mother in Israel, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Pastor Simmons and his wife, Maria. I want to thank you for your encouragement and your information. A week and a half ago, to be exact, I had to go to the emergency room, which I haven't done for some time, thank God. But it was packed from one end to the next. And I don't know what happened to the doctors. I was finally able, after some hours, to see a doctor. And I had a pain under my right flank. And after I saw the doctor, he did his best. He said, I think that you have strained a muscle, but it was not that. I was not drinking enough water. I tried to, but still it was not enough. And when you're an older person, everything is wearing down slowly. And so my digestive system is not working as it used to work for me. And I was constipated and didn't know it.
Wow.
And that was causing me the pain. But it pays to depend on God. Out of the blue, a doctor that I've never met before. I've never met them at all. I've just spoken to them several times. He ordered a CAT scan. So, on the afternoon at 6:15, I was scheduled to go in for a CAT scan. One of my granddaughters took me. And the next day, he called, the same doctor that scheduled me, called to say, I have not seen, which I'm thankful to God for, I've not seen any significant damage, but I'm going to suggest to you that you should use either Miralax or Dulcolax. And I drink a lot of water. Don't take it for more than a week. And since I did that, by the grace of God, pain went second day. Not completely. But the third day, it was gone. And thank God, I am more judicious in drinking my water. And I'm fine, thank God. So I
gave all the
prayers, and you started to tell me about more water.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not enough. What was there was had a need to be cleared out. And
wow.
The Marilax did it.
Very good.
I thank God for your ministry, and I pray for you every day that the Lord will prosper you, bless you, and prosper your ministry. And if I had the ability to do things differently where electronics are concerned, I would have taken the class. But thank God for his mercies. And I have some health books with some information that helped me along also. And thank God that they are ministry, I can call and get some advice. So by the grace of God, I am fine.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Well, we praise God for you. We thank God that he's brought relief and that he's given you wisdom. You might even want to take a little slippery elm from time to time, a little bit every day.
I take that nearly every morning.
Yeah.
Nearly every single morning before I take breakfast.
Good. I think if you get that, keep that water up with that slippery elm, yes. I don't think you're going to need Miralax again. All right, Mother, we have another call coming in. Thank you so much.
God bless you and your dear wife.
Thank you. I will definitely let her know. All right, we've got Sister Desiree on the line. Good morning, Sister Desiree.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Sister Maria. I wanted to, I'm trying to see how to pose this as a question or a statement, but I was having a conversation, had it before with some people about some brothers about Christ and about being in the, you know, in the, from the beginning. And I said, and they said, well, Christ wasn't in the Old Testament. I said, but he was. I said, in the New, it says, and the Word was with God. I can't quite explain, but the Word was with God. In other words, it was with God, and that Christ
and it says all things were made by him. That's right.
Right, and all right, and in the beginning, he was there. And but no, but what they were saying, well, he didn't come until, I know that he came in the flesh, and we needed him in the flesh because God can't break his own law. I got that. And that he had to come here in the flesh because of what, because of the sin that Adam and Eve, because sin was invited to come in into our universe where we live. And I understand that. And so that we needed the blood and man and all of that in the oath. But I said, but Christ was always in the beginning with the Father. And I knew what they were trying to explain because in listening to hear, but because I ain't versed in all scripture, but I was listening to them and I got it. I said, I know what you're trying to explain, what you're trying to say and how, you know, the Old Testament, how people made the Sabbath a burden. We're supposed to take it pleasure, but it doesn't mean that we're supposed to, you know, as I've done at times, many times, and breaking it, and we're not to just take it as a intentionally and just go and like a vacation, like just do our own thing and go to things circular and participate in circular activities. I put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't want to argue because what I remember in the back of my mind, the scripture says we're not to debate the word of God. And so I didn't want to continue. But I was hearing them, but I knew in my spirit. And, you know, sometimes when you're speaking to people, if you don't feel, well, I'll say for me, I didn't feel, I didn't want to, one, debate, and then two, I was like, I'm not fully learning, you know, living all. And once you, you know, you just feel whatever within yourself, you don't feel, you feel inadequate because of your sins or what you've done or haven't done or what you're doing and what you're not doing. So I didn't want to continue the conversation, but I was listening and I could see into my spirit that they were trying to explain things as if as if you have explained in the sense of how Christ has been there, the Sabbath and how the Jews, but it wasn't quite coming across. But I just wanted you to elaborate on that, you know, that Christ was, and like you said, grace was with, what was it, Noah found grace, or and different ones found the grace. And it is hard to find when you know about the law and all of that, but and people not understanding that or knowing it. And I'm talking about within the faith. And so anyway, that conversation took place, and I just wanted to bring it up. I almost wasn't going to say anything, but I had been wanting to say something. But then I said, don't get scared now. Say something.
That's right.
And so I wanted to, because I know that I just have my struggles. Let's just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I wanted to, I want to be faithful. I want to build myself back up to be, to be able to stand. I just mm-hmm. heard of someone who passed away, and it was so funny. I listened to them. It was on YouTube, and this particular person just passed away. Her name was Sinead O'Connor. And in my time, she was a singer during my season. Very attractive, but she didn't want people to look at her attractiveness. She wanted people to hear her message. And when I listened to her, when they pulled a video of her and what she said, and it wasn't, and she, I believe she was from Ireland. I knew she was from Ireland. But she was for the, it wasn't that she didn't love the people or the Catholic Church, but she was trying to get them message that wrong, you know, different things that had happened and what they had did. And when they showed the video, I was like, oh my gosh, that is so true about the various things that they allowed and what they did. But because people don't read or don't, let's say they don't read, they don't know, they don't understand, so they think it's heresy. And she literally she made a risk when she did what she did on SNL, Saturday Night Live, when she ripped a picture up of Pope John II. And she literally, her career and everything turned. And it wasn't what she was saying, was that all this stuff that's happened in the Catholic Church, everything that had happened, and when she was, she wanted to draw attention to it before it was even popular. So it was mm-hmm. just, I just couldn't believe that here's someone who's non-quote Adventist, and I just looked and I said, oh my father, you're going to use people who ain't even Adventist, who quote, they don't have a title. And I was like, she quoted and she said, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, I was dumbfounded because she did. She said it. She said all the things that they had did, how they had, it was on Democracy Now. And she had said all the things, and she did it fast, but she said all these things that the Catholic Church had done. And people have forgotten, or they don't read, or they don't know. And so they thought it was incorrect, but it was true. And she,
right.
because she had lived such a life, and she saw the abuse of women. She saw this laundry place where they were put away because they had children out of wedlock or whatever, but the men were punished, but the women were punished. And she was bringing out various things. So she was basically, she stood by her conviction. And I said, Lord, if I could just be, I need to grow where I can be able to stand at the core of my conviction. I said, as it is now, I don't believe I could. I get it now. But it took me.
Well, let me just say this, because we're going to have to close out. But I'm going to say this
to you.
Okay,
sure. I'm sorry.
Listen to me. Let me just share something with you. Even the courage to be a martyr is not given until it's needed. So don't worry about what you would do or am I strong enough.
just we're living today. Today is August the 9th. Just if you can make it through today, God will give you strength for tomorrow. So the Bible says, take no thought for tomorrow. So don't worry about, do I have the strength, or when this happens, or if they put a gun to my head, you know, we can borrow sorrow from tomorrow in so doing. But God gave you today. You live for God today. The fact that you want to be stronger is proof that the Holy Spirit is working in your life. Be encouraged. Just live this day for Jesus. Stay in his word, and you will be blessed, my dear friend. You will be blessed.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right, friends, we're going to go ahead and close out with prayer. Father, thank you so much for this day. Bless us now with the Holy Spirit as we continue to strive for your grace. We pray, Lord, that you would be with us on this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, friends, let me do some more. Father, we just want to lift up before you our mother in Israel, who has overcome the constipation challenge, or at least knows that that's a problem. And we also want to remember Sister Desiree and help her to continue to God, trust you. And you are walking with her, and her desire to want to be closer to you and to stand when troublous times come is the proof that you're working in her life. Help her not to worry. But we are not given the strength to be handle a crisis until that crisis comes. But if we're faithful in the little, we'll be faithful in the much. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, friends, now it's time for our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in